Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Epiphany is God's revealing himself to the world in the flesh, and usually with great power. And the season always comes to a close with Jesus' transfiguration. Mark begins by telling us that the events took place 6 days later. Okay, but 6 days after what? To go back to what happened a week earlier, Jesus' disciples had been in the villages of Caesarea Philippi when he asked the guys who people say that he is. The leading candidates, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. So Jesus pressed them on this. Well, Peter answered that he is the Messiah, but Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. He immediately launched into how the Son of Man must suffer and be killed. Well, Peter didn't find all this talk about suffering and death fitting for God's Messiah, and so he took Jesus aside to get him set straight, only for Jesus to call Peter Satan. It wasn't a high point for Peter. In power. Power? Glory? How are we all to understand all this when we've just been talking about suffering? Now, there's a bit of a wordplay going on here. We could translate Jesus coming in glory not with his holy angels, but with his holy messengers. In that case, you might be wondering who these messengers are who will be coming with Jesus in glory. And what about not tasting death? Are there messengers of old who had not tasted death? I mean, those are our two clues. And there were indeed such messengers of old. The disciples had just been talking at Caesarea Philippi that week earlier about Elijah, one of the Lord's messengers, his prophets. Heavenly chariots had descended down from above and whisked them away into the heavens to glory. No death for him. And disciples had all to the heavens. For another first century Jewish author, Moses died, but he left no body behind because God had taken him directly to heaven. So, had Moses really tasted death? The Jews in Jesus' day talked about how both Moses and Elijah got to ascend into the heavens at the end of their earthly lives. Some were expecting both to return. I mean, it's easy to see why someone might think that the prophet like Moses, who would one day come, could be Moses himself. And as for Elijah, the prophet Malachi had said, look, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. So, returning to Mark's gospel, Jesus was just talking about how some of those standing there would not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come in power. A first century Jew might be thinking Moses and Elijah. And then Jesus takes the three disciples up onto a mountain. I mean, a mountain? You remember what happened on mountains with Moses and Elijah? God had Elijah go up on a mountain and then revealed himself by passing by. Moses had gone up on a mountain on the seventh day. He'd received instructions on building a dwelling place. But even more, it was on this mountain that God had Moses hide in the rock as he passed by. Both Moses and Elijah witnessed the Lord's glory passing by, and both were expected to return. Mount Sinai, Mount Carmel, and now we have, surprise, surprise, another mountain. But there's one other puzzle here. What does it mean that some standing there will not taste death before the kingdom of God comes in power? Did Jesus get that wrong? I mean, didn't the generation standing there with Jesus all die off? Did they miss it? Or maybe we got it wrong. The generation standing there with Jesus did see the kingdom of God come in power. But they may not at first have recognized what they were seeing. Jesus' death on the cross was that act of power. A war is being waged by Jesus against the forces of darkness all through Mark's gospel, and the climactic battle would end with a decisive victory. But a self-absorbed, adulterous generation shouldn't be expected to get it. They would only see a man dying on a cross. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah who must suffer and die, but there's glory and power hidden in the midst of it all. And to make sure that Jesus' own got the point, he gave them a preview. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up to a high mountain. He was transfigured in front of them, and his clothes became dazzling, so brilliantly white that no launderer could whiten them. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. White robes are what the martyrs would wear in the book of Revelation. Or even the young man sitting at the tomb after the resurrection. They are the robes of the victorious. Didn't Jesus say the disciples would be seeing the kingdom of God come with power? The white garments foreshadow the victory that will be taking place at the cross. Jesus is revealing his glory. He'd wanted to do that earlier. He had been passing them by, walking on the waters, even as God had passed by Moses and Elijah in their mountains. But by the way, did you catch that? The very two who witnessed God's glory passing them by on mountains would find themselves standing with the glorified Jesus on yet another mountain. Elijah, and he's transfigured. But when Peter opens his mouth, I mean, granted, he was overwhelmed by it all, but he doesn't call Jesus Lord or God. He calls him Rabbi, a term of respect, especially for a religious teacher. Is that all Jesus is? I mean, isn't Rabbi what Judas will call Jesus right before he betrays him? The disciples will call Jesus Rabbi a little later when Jesus was teaching about the temple, when all that teaching was going right over their heads. The same Peter who had botched his confession and been called Satan just a week earlier suggests, let's set up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because he did not know what to say, since they were terrified. Peter wanted to construct a memorial with these shelters, but he was afraid. It reminds us how disciples were afraid earlier and without faith in Mark's story. Yeah, Peter wanted to build shelters for these visiting dignitaries. Well, in Jesus' day, the feast of shelter, or does he see Jesus as just another of the righteous? Notice, Peter wants 3 shelters, one for Jesus, but also for Moses and for Elijah. Peter is placing Jesus on the same level as they. Really? I mean, as usual, Peter has no clue what he's saying. Jesus had just explained that his path to glory must lead through suffering. Now is not the time for commemorative booths, Peter. The victory has not yet been clinched. Hadn't I just been explaining that to you? But Jesus will not be the one to correct Peter. Just like at Mount Sinai, and even with Moses standing there, a cloud appeared, overshadowing them, and a voice came from the cloud, this time saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." The very Son of God promised in Psalm 2, and he is the beloved Son. That comes from Isaiah, promising the coming servant of the Lord. And to call him the beloved Son is to say that Jesus is God's only Son. And that means quite unlike Moses and Elijah. Moses foresaw that prophet would come and told the Israelites to listen to him. So will they? As soon as a voice spoke, the 3 disciples looked around in confusion, and there was only Jesus. No heavenly companions. No, the brilliance gone. nothing to distract them from paying attention to Jesus. So will they hear him? Will they listen? It turns out that that generation did not pass away before they saw Jesus come in glory. They saw it at the Mount of Transfiguration. But it was never an either-or. Now they must witness the suffering. Don't worry about setting up stone shelters or memorials. No. Listen to them. As they're coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Jesus had been commanding them to remain silent and were reminded why. The disciples would not be in a position to understand it all until after they had witnessed his suffering and death. They needed to see the whole story. Jesus had to die for us. We end the Epiphany of Jesus with the Transfiguration and coming down from the mountain of glory to face the valley of suffering and death. The path to messianic glory leads to a criminal's cross just outside Jerusalem, not exactly what disciples were expecting. Of course, disciples still have no idea what Jesus is talking about, but we do, don't we? The cross is just around the corner. There will be no glory apart from suffering for Jesus or for us. We all must take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of the Lord in suffering. And then in death. But that won't be the end of the story. Praise God. We rise. And now may the peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.